This is Warner Wolf. On Sunday morning, the 24th of November, I was anchorman stationed at our main studios with direct lines to and from WQMR reporters located at various vantage points along the route between the White House and the Capitol building. At exactly 1 p.m. Washington time, the funeral procession left the north portico of the White House. Only 30 minutes before, and 1,385 miles away, in the basement of police headquarters in Dallas, Texas, reporters waited anxiously for an elevator to descend. At 12:32, the elevator came to an immediate halt, and out stepped the accused presidential assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, heavily flanked on both sides by law enforcement officers. And then, out of nowhere, a man, later identified as Dallas nightclub owner Jack Ruby, darted from the crowd and fired a .38 caliber pistol at point-blank range into the stomach of Oswald. As pandemonium broke loose, Oswald was rushed to Parkland Memorial Hospital, the same hospital President Kennedy was taken 2 days before. And as fate would have it, Oswald, the accused assassin, succumbed on an emergency operating table, ironically only 12 feet from where the victim, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, had passed away 48 hours earlier. Ruby was immediately subdued and taken into custody by police officials, where he was held pending further investigation. Back here in the nation's capital, the funeral procession had left the White House and turned on to 15th Street. Here is the actual report WQMR listeners heard.
The drums are draped in black crepe. A contingent of District of Columbia policemen lead the procession, followed by a military band with members of the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and the Army. You can hear the drums. The crowd, many of the women weeping as the drums sound. We're opposite the Treasury building. The drums are just beginning to turn off 15th Street, once again onto Pennsylvania Avenue. The procession continues with a platoon of Navy men. Their rifles, bayonets affixed, in precision step. Members now of the military, an Air Force general, an admiral, a Marine commandant, and then the Stars and Stripes, the honor guard. An Air Force man, a Marine carrying the flag, and a Navy man. Three members of the clergy follow about 50 paces behind. The hats of the spectators, the men, are removed. The servicemen that line the streets come to attention as the caisson carrying the body of John F. Kennedy passes directly beneath us. Six horses and a seventh horse to guide, pulling the caisson. Members of the armed forces, all enlisted men, surround the caisson on which the casket lies with the American flag and its glorious red, white, and blue, its glorious red, white, and blue colors covering the casket. And then a horse without a rider. The caisson moves on to Pennsylvania Avenue, and now comes the Kennedy family. We can see Carolyn Kennedy in the first limousine. Jacqueline Kennedy, John, license plates MA-100, a shiny black limousine. There are one, two, three, approximately 10 cars procession. We can see, obviously, other young Kennedys, the trademark of the family written on their face. Probably the family of Attorney General Robert Kennedy in the 5th limousine. Looking back up towards the street, we see another cordon of military police. We are now going to switch to another vantage point. And we are now facing Pennsylvania Avenue. In a moment, Barry Clark at 12th and Pennsylvania will take over because the funeral procession has completed, passing the Treasury Building at 15th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. Many of the crowd, thousands of people here in the bright sunshine, following the procession down the street and on the sidelines. Ed Winton at the Treasury Building, returning you to WQMR Studios in Warner Wolf.
As the procession continued towards the Capitol, our reporters described the march. Here is Barry Clark at 12th and Pennsylvania Avenue.
And we are waiting. The citizens of Washington, of Maryland, of Virginia, of the nation, of the world, are waiting. The citizens of America pay tribute to a dead president. The drums, the Navy men, the officers, the flag, the horses, the dead president. Mr. Kennedy, the place is not the same. We'll never be the same again. I miss your voice. The music of your smile, your kind face. I miss your courage, the glint of life in your eyes. So very much, I miss you. We miss you here. The morning has ended and the sun.
WQMR newsman Bob Welch's vantage point was 9th and Pennsylvania Avenue.
The casket, President John F. Kennedy, is now passing our window. Here on Pennsylvania Avenue. People have, of course, removed their hats, and people have a look in their face I shall never forget. In following the caisson, the presidential flag is the horse without a rider, and with the stirrups turned around. From here we can see Attorney General Robert Kennedy. Caroline Kennedy is seated on his lap. She is looking out the window. He is talking to her, trying to explain perhaps something that is very difficult. Members of the Kennedy family are following in the procession now. It is approximately
Pennsylvania Avenue runs into Constitution Avenue at 4th Street. That is where WQMR newsman Cliff Wells reported from. Capitol Hill itself was WQMR News editor Ken Rogers.
A 21-gun salute is echoing across the plaza here at the Capitol building as the casket of John Fitzgerald Kennedy lies on a caisson at almost the exact spot where less than 3 years ago he was pronounced the president of the United States. Now the Navy band salutes their fallen chief as the honor guard prepares to lift the casket from the caisson and carry it into the rotunda of the Capitol, where it will lie in state until tomorrow. It's expected that hundreds of thousands of people will pay their last respects to the fallen president.
The city was a study of contrasts. On Capitol Hill, hundreds of thousands of people began to stand in line. A few blocks away, a different view. Here is the way Ed Winton described it to WQMR listeners.
In sharp contrast to the ceremony now taking place in the rotunda of the Capitol, 15th and Pennsylvania Avenue proceeds almost in normal. There's the traffic, the gaily colored cars, the policemen directing traffic, the red light and the green light. There's also the television cameramen across the way winding in their cables, putting away their TV cameras to prepare, along with us, for tomorrow and John F. Kennedy's last ride in the city and in the nation, in the world that loved him so much. Ed Winton at the Treasury Building.
There were 52 Sundays in the year 1963, but that fateful number 47, November 24th, shall always be remembered in the annals of history. This is Warner Wolf.